Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever episode 195. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and FF underscore spaceman. How the hell are you guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm excellent. It seems like it's been a minute. It kind of has.
Nope.
And
we have the spaceman back.
I'm excited to talk some football, some rookies with you guys, some undervalued overvalued rookies, overvalued. Just making sure you guys are on your toes.
I had like a big sweat going. I'm like, I'm not prepared for this.
Not prepared for the undervalued.
Kind of am, but
we'll give you that in a couple weeks. We'll give you guys 2 weeks to get ready for the undervalued rookies.
That's a lot of time.
There you go.
I wonder which rookies that could be on Rookie Fever. Probably all of them.
you never know. Well, I don't know. Well, that's what I was thinking. To be fair, like, are all rookies overvalued?
Yes. Yeah.
So
I was gonna lead that too. Like, it, if you look at it, like, we were just talking just before we got on. It's just like,
throw the outro music up and we're out of here.
It's like, it's hard to find overrated rookies, and it's hard because they're all kind of overrated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Rookie Fever, like, not here, but out there, has calmed down considerably. But if you look at these ADPs, it's still present.
Yeah. So who is overvalued?
Besides everyone?
Well, give us somewhere to start.
All right. Well, I'm going to just start at the top because, like, for me, the easiest way to find a rookie that's overvalued is to find a rookie that is at the top of their ADP, like wide receiver 10 overall, startup value of 30 overall. And we just talked about him last week, and you know I love him, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where if you look at it through a lens and you see that he is currently being drafted at his ceiling right now, I mean, it's pretty hard to justify.
So feverish, give me the shot that's going to calm me down. Like, who's he around here? Like, how can you take my fever away? Cause
you love him.
I've got one share of Ja'Marr Chase, and naturally I've gotten offers for him, and none of them seemed good enough to make me really even want to counter, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Sure.
Because I do have those high hopes. I understand that there could be failure as well, but I have very high expectations. Like, help me out here. I'm sweating. I want Ja'Marr Chase. Like, who's after him there? The next couple, like, who do you want to put in front of him?
Yeah. So we got Terry McLaurin behind him, four spots, Michael Thomas, another two spots behind him, DJ Moore, 38. Mike Evans, 39, Godwin, 40, Allen Robinson, 42, Keenan Allen, 44. Ahead of him is Calvin Ridley.
So if I offer you Michael Thomas for your Ja'Marr Chase, are you accepting that? No reservations?
I might. I know it's the Drew Brees thing, but I don't mind his situation this year at all. And he has a wide receiver one season just 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I might consider that. I know that's not going to be consensus.
Are you accepting the trade for your Michael Thomas, or you're sending Ja'Marr Chase? I'm sending you Michael Thomas for your Ja'Marr Chase.
Who are we talking to?
Mr. Dave.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Fanera. I missed that part. No, I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase. I do not think he's underrated.
are overrated at all. I mean, there's definitely not a lot of meat on that bone, especially I've seen him as high as wide receiver 5 in some rankings. There's not a lot of meat on that bone, like Finero said, when you're drafting at that ceiling, but
and that is the tough part. Yeah.
I just went back. I mean, I know this is the time to not feel that way about Ja'Marr Chase. I get it, right? And I love Ja'Marr Chase too. I have more than one share, Swags. But I had to go all the way back to 2017 to find draft capital equal to the draft capital that we saw wide receivers go in this year, 2021. So I had to go back 5 years. And in 2017, Corey Davis was picked in that same exact spot, 105. After Corey Davis, Mike Williams at 107, where Jaylen Waddle was picked at 106. After that, at 109, John Ross, where Devontae Smith was picked, 110. It happens, guys.
Oh,
that's three top 10 wide receivers in one class. And I to what Dave just said, he's already a wide receiver 1. Just is. And he's alongside of Higgins. Like Calvin Ridley is a wide receiver 1 after last year, but it took him 3 years to get there. And you'll say, well, yeah, because he was alongside of Julio Jones. Well, we have a younger T. Higgins on the other side and a very good slot receiver in Tyler Boyd. So he's sharing it to be a wide receiver 1 in ADP right now before he even hits the field. I think that's the definition of slightly overrated.
It is. And I think part of the problem with rookie fever and part of the reason that it clings on to you is because that moment where you're letting go of Ja'Marr Chase and it clings to you, that hope that you have, like, if I let go, what is he going to be or what could he be? And I think that's the something that I'm still want to be a part of little bit.
Of course.
But I do know what you mean. Like, why not go get Keenan Allen plus if you can? Because that's really, ideally, that's probably going to help my team better in the end.
Right. And I'm going to have to put the disclaimer out right now that just because I'm saying that they're overvalued does not mean I don't like them.
Right.
Like, that is not what I'm saying here, because I'm going to have another player that you guys aren't going to like me talking about too, because it's a player that's like almost blasphemy to say he's overvalued or overrated, because we have very, very high hopes for this other player too. But we needed to start somewhere, so I started at the top. This is the highest of the entire rookie class, the highest player picked. And wow. I mean, minus quarterbacks.
Dave, do you have any overvalued rookies?
Yeah, I actually have several, but just getting a little bit more, wrapping up Ja'Marr Chase, I think what we've, and as we talk about this overvalued as a whole, I think some of you guys might have been playing for longer than me. I think this is my fifth season playing Dynasty, I believe. But we've been playing, I remember when I first started, rookies were not going this early. Like I remember when people thought like Saquon was a first round pick or Zeke was a first round pick. That was like a big deal. And now it almost feels a lot more commonplace year after year. You get the players in Superflex, QBs coming in, or wide receivers. I think it's just weird, because you used to be able to feel like you could take advantage of that. And now that window, because sometimes there was some meat on the bone with these rookies to take. Now I feel like the dynasty landscape has changed, and that isn't the case anymore. Where we would,
that is a good point. Yeah,
Ja'Marr Chase would probably be a wide receiver 15 in previous seasons. Yep. I think
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I mean, Corey Davis, when I went back to 2017. Overall in Dynasty ADP, he was 15. Overall, not wide receiver 15. Overall, Corey Davis was 15. He was a wide receiver 11. So very comparable.
You're just comparing the draft capital, though, not the player.
I'm comparing the ADP, going back to what Dave was saying. Dave was saying, like, he used to be able to get, and he's right. He's right.
Comparable to the draft capital of which was put into these players with the ADP versus first round.
ADP, like, definitely.
Round pick, draft capital. Mm-hmm. Like, I still feel like Ja'Marr Chase is a generational talent. Like,
he absolutely can be. Yeah, I'm not saying that he doesn't have that possibility as a ceiling. Sure. Same thing with Kyle Pitts. It's the same similar argument.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But I mean, I just went back. I mean, back to Dave's point, N'Keal Harry was a 101 pick in rookie drafts. He wasn't going until wide receiver 18. You know, like he was saying, wide receiver. These are all first round picks. Ridley didn't go till wide receiver 32. DJ Moore didn't go till 27. Marquise Brown, which everybody was down on, didn't go till wide receiver 47 in ADP that year. Brandon Ayuk didn't go until wide receiver 50 that year, first round pick. But Chase, wide receiver 10.
Wow.
And to Swag's point, though, I do agree that this is the best. I think this is probably the best wide receiver prospect that I can remember since probably Julio for me. I mean, I really like DJ Moore, but DJ Moore didn't have that same, like, he wasn't the 105 pick or 104, whatever Chase ended up being. So I understand. I still have him ranked as a top 12 wide receiver for me overall. So he's not overvalued for me. I just think it's incredibly, just so much more risk and capital is invested to that than say when we're used to taking him further. So I'm not as excited to be taking him that high.
Yeah. And I just sprinkled in, you know, nobody loved him going to Cincinnati. We had other places we wanted to see him go. And I'm not saying Cincinnati is a bad place. But, you know, people immediately suppressed Higgins, and now people are like, well, Higgins might even outscore Chase year one. You know, we're kind of leveling out a little bit. So if that's happening, you know, and I told you I had Chase as the highest scoring rookie just last week, or it was 2 weeks ago with Dave, right? So I had him as the top, you know, top scoring wide receiver. So I have, you know, I'm super high on Chase too. I just feel like that the reason I went after the highest rookie on the board was that's probably has the best chance of being slightly overrated. And I did the same at other positions.
To be fair, I mean, if we're going to go in that line, I have Trevor Lawrence as an overrated rookie. So,
I have Lawrence.
Kind of curious, why is the Lawrence as an overrated for you, Swags?
I mean, he hasn't done anything yet. I could probably go get Justin Herbert for Trevor Lawrence if I wanted to today or something like that, or I can go get Tua plus those type things. Like he's same thing. Like he is priced at a ceiling, like that's almost to me inaccurate in a bad franchise that seems to have a coach with all the answers, but seems like he's built a lot of problems, quite honestly. So end of the day, I'm a little worried about how everything shakes out in Jacksonville there, to be completely honest with you. And my Trevor Lawrence shares seems like it's something I'm starting to just kind of want out of to just kind of divert to something with more security and maybe with an addition or even if I have to add a little to Trevor Lawrence to get Josh Allen or something like that. I think people would do that right now just so that they could be a part of Trevor Lawrence. I just think that, I don't know, it could happen. You know, I don't hate Trevor Lawrence, kind of same with what we said about Ja'Marr Chase. I don't hate him, but just seems like everybody wants to be attached to it and they're really excited about it.
Superflex ADP is going 10 overall, QB 7.
And so I did the same exercise that Finero did with Chase. I went back and I looked at Kyler Murray was the QB 10 going off the board and was going in the late third round of June 2019 drafts. And then in 2018, Lamar Baker, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, all were going QB 20 and later. And that was just three years ago now, right? two, 3 years ago. And and so then going and now, yeah, he's going as QB 7 overall, pick 10 in D left. I can't believe investing my first pick in a startup draft, I'm going to invest my first pick off the board, unless I'm like trading around and get lucky and get two in the first round. But in a, like Swag's saying, a first time NFL coach who's had some drama in college and left several major college programs, has health problems, run heavy coach. And Swag said it perfectly. He said some questionable things, stirring up things. But then there's, on the other hand, there's no denying his talent, Jarvis Lawrence's talent. He's a great prospect. But we all saw what happened to Kyle Uletta when he was thrust into a starting role in the New York Giants during his rookie season. So no, I'm kidding. Of course, that was a that was a player that I'm normally high on, I don't even disagree with his overall rank as much. I just would rather take Burrow a player later in the QB rank. I have Burrow a little over him, and I'd rather go in other positions that are just safer than hit the tail end of that QB 2 tier that's in the first round of Superflex drafts.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Finero, anything to add to Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I think the one thing with Trevor Lawrence, I think that's happening is this fatigue over Trevor Lawrence. He's if you remember the Saquon Barkley year when he came out, like just almost even on rookie fever, like he was like number one on the Rookie Top 12 like almost every single week. We talk very little about him because everyone knew how great he was. It's actually way more fun to try to predict somebody that's not where they should be and blah, 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 blah. You know, I heard you and Madman talking about something related to this exact topic with Trevor Lawrence. And it's just like, he's like, oh, you know, he almost sounded tired, like talking about Lawrence. And then on top of it, he's just like, yeah, but I, you know, I do the same thing. I pick him at 101. I mean, what do you, you know what I mean? Like, it was like the most, it was one of the, least excited expressions for, I think this, we have fatigue over him. Yeah. And until he really hits the field and shows why he clearly deserved to be the 101 and why he clearly deserves to be the conversation of elite, we're just going to feel this way. And we're going to, you know, I want somebody to pick apart the player. I heard people picking apart the team, you know, the Jaguars. I've heard people pick apart a coach we haven't seen play in the NFL, which is scary. I've heard that, but I never really heard anyone pick the player apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were excited about LaVisca. You know, it's strange to me that he's just so unfun to talk about. So I'm fairly convinced that he will be fun to talk about once the season starts, in a way that we'll just reflect on this kind of fatigue and say, well, it's just because we knew he was going to be this good. Like, so I kind of lean on that.
He could have gotten drafted somewhere more fun.
Oh, absolutely could have. Okay. No one's going to disagree with you there.
In conclusion,
no one's going to
disagree. Shame on him for that.
And keep in mind, guys, their defense still sucks, which just helps the quarterback.
Yeah.
Decent weapons, too. He has decent weapons. Like, I agree everything with Finero said, slipping in that where a lot of our criticism isn't necessarily with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Swags, who's your overrated guy?
I think I have DeVonta Smith as somebody that's an overrated,
I knew that was coming,
rookie. And I think a little bit of too much stock has gone into him for doing nothing.
Well, none of these players have done anything, but the real reasons you don't like him is because you believe the Eagles can't draft a wide receiver.
I don't love the landing spot. That's true. I think that they can draft a wide receiver. I don't think that they do well at developing them.
Fair enough.
To be completely honest with you.
And
it's a size and speed thing. I think he's a shifty guy. I think that you're right. He can run great routes. I think that he is going to be utilized by the Eagles, but I mean, you still have to get off the line, get open. I want to see it happen. And
do we know who Hurts is?
Not exactly, to be fair.
Not sure. He's a wide receiver 29 in ADP, going off around 85.
And that's a lot. That's very, very high to me. I mean, I think of what's around there? What's around 85? That area?
Yeah, let me get that for you. Right around 85. We'll do three players above. We'll do three players below for you. So we got above. Well, that can't be right. Stand by.
Yeah, I'll take all those players.
I see it. It's Myles Gaskin, Cooper Kupp, Kareem Hunt are all going before DeVonta Smith.
Cooper Kupp.
All before. And then right after is Derek Carr, Trey Sermon, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I'll take all those players over him. And that's Superflex ADP?
Yep.
Those guys down there, wow. Yeah, that's silly to me. I don't understand that.
So you'd much rather have Trey Sermon over DeVonta Smith?
That one's the closest one, to be completely fair. But yes, I am. I'm going to take Trey Sermon if those are the only players I have to choose from for whatever reason in our rookie draft are those two players. Yes, I probably would take Trey Sermon. Now, there are other players that other people might like less than me that I would still put above Trey Sermon or DeVonta Smith. Both of the, like Elijah Moore, both Moores, Rondale Moore, Elijah Moore. I may consider Marshall still, even there with the perceivable depth issue. I think he'll probably still be the third wide receiver there, though. I may take Marshall over Smith.
I might take wide receiver 31 over him, Jerry Jeudy.
I'm definitely taking Jerry Jeudy over Smith. Definitely.
Yeah, that's two spots below at wide receiver position.
Yeah, no question. I'm taking Jeudy.
I was in a startup yesterday and I took Jeudy over Smith, and without even hesitation. I didn't even think, I didn't have, not even close to the same tier for me.
That feels right. Yeah.
I'm smitten. I'm so excited. If you sent me a trade and for some weird reason I had Devontae Smith and you sent me Jerry Jeudy, I'm like looking twice to make sure Jerry Jeudy wasn't in a really serious car accident or something. And I'm accepting that very quickly.
So Swags, you're much lower than I am on Smith. So like some of the players that you were saying, I'm like Trey Sermon, you know, I'm low on him. So so it was going in one ear and out the other. But when I'm looking at these players now, Jerry Jeudy should absolutely be above Devonta Smith. So he's got to be overrated where he's at. I mean, there's some pretty damn good names here. Would you guys here's one that's a little on the Juju?
I was looking the Juju. Same thing.
I'll gladly take Juju.
Over. Gladly? Like, that's tougher for me.
Probably over everybody on that list.
Yeah.
Honestly, almost everybody on that list.
Tyler
Look
Boyd.
Look at what Jerry
Tyler Boyd.
Or Juju did last year on this supposed, like, down year. And
right.
It was a great season for a wide receiver.
Tyler Boyd,
that's getting a little tough, but yeah, I'm still going to take that proven talent. Still pretty young. I think he'll do well out of the slot.
Michael Gallup. How far down do I have to go?
I'll take Smith. I'll take
finally.
Smith. You got me.
So you have Smith somewhere around.
Guy. Who's the next guy?
Next guy up?
Down.
Or down? Down? Gallup. Curtis Samuel.
I'll take Curtis Samuel all day.
Quintez Cephas.
Dude, Curtis Samuel all day.
Amon-Ra.
I'll take
stop.
I'll take that in redraft, not in dynasty. I'll take Amon-Ra.
Does anything to take a poop on Devonta Smith? Just no, changes the format. Shit.
Board that right now. Like, come on.
You're gonna take Amon-Ra over Devonta Smith year one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll board that.
With confidence.
All right, this one I'm writing down because I asked you what the last one was, and we had to go back and listen like three episodes to find out what it is. I believe it was Bateman versus Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, I remember that. I would say that again.
We're doing it right now. So Bateman, Watkins, Smith.
I feel like
Quentin Cephas. Like
maybe no, my Pitts projections were a little bit high on that show, if anything. Maybe my Pitts projections were a little high, but I'll put Watkins over Bateman in redraft.
You just did.
Yeah.
On the board.
Yep.
It's on the board, Bobby.
Dave.
So I'll just kind of do the, you know, to defend the rookie here a little bit, is that I do think Devonta Smith is a pretty great prospect considering his, you know, he is a later production kind of guy who didn't really have a ton of production early on in his career. And that being said, he gets scored a lot. He scored pretty high in the analytics community despite such a later type college or age adjusted production. So I think I understand a lot of what Swag is saying about the question marks around him. And I actually don't have him anywhere just because of where he happens to be going. And I would take Rondale Moore over him. I'd take Elijah. That's tough. I'd take Devonta Smith, but, it gets really close for me there with Elijah Moore and Devonta Smith. But so I'm like 50% with Swags there. Like, yeah, some of those. Yeah, I'm with you, man. But I'm not all the way on the rain on Devonta Smith parade.
I'll probably even take Bateman over Smith. That's how.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And you hate Bateman.
I hate his situation.
I know. I was just waiting for you. I thought he was going to get fired up. Yep, I thought Bateman. That was going to work.
No, it wasn't.
The longest pause ever. You'll probably cut it out, but
no, I won't. I just run it through a machine and it naturally takes out all of our long pauses. Don't have time for that shit.
I think it just took a little while for you to hear what I said, and you're like, you did not bait me. Get it? Bateman.
Oh, all right. I didn't even get it till now. You had to explain your pun.
That's never good.
Dave, do you have any more overvalued rookies?
Yeah, I'll keep going down the list. Jalen Waddle for me, he's DLF's wide receiver three in rookies and the wide receiver 33 overall. And I honestly don't mind that ranking. That's kind of where these rookies come in. I mean, he was the sixth overall draft pick, went to Miami. But I'd much rather, shocker, I'd rather have Rondale Moore over Jalen Waddle in case anybody didn't know. That's just how, but I'd take Elijah Moore over him too. There's just, looking at Miami, they've had three offensive coaches in 3 years under Brian Flores, and he had the bright idea last year to think Chan Gailey was a good idea, bring him out of retirement and think that he's a good idea to coach. Not a lot of confidence in some of the offensive schemes there in Miami or the decision making from Brian Flores on that side. I like Brian Flores overall, but and then I really like Tua. So don't get me wrong, I like Tua, but it is a projection to say that Tua is going to take, well, you have to have a little bit of leap of faith to get Tua to where I want him to be and how good I think he's going to be this year. So there is some question marks around Jalen Waddle, who has, they don't have no talent around him. And you have to think about it. Listen to this, Fenero. You've got, the problem I have with Jalen Waddle is that Miles Gaskin is going to get in 25 carries a game and 15 to 20 targets per game. So that's the biggest impediment to Jalen Waddle, is that Miles Gaskin is going to be the new CMC. That's
sort of, damn, that's where you're going.
No, I'm a little over, a little exaggeration.
You there, got but. My attention. Yeah, again, I'm playing the swags game here, and I'm checking out where Waddle's nesting in, and I got Tyler Lockett right there. You know, I'm going to take Tyler Lockett
over Waddle.
Yeah,
I like Lockett a lot. I think he's a great buy low this year, but
you're not doing it.
I kind of want Waddle there, and I agree. Like,
so you complain about the fast guy and how we all fall for the fast guy all the time. Waddle is the epitome of that, compared to Tyreek Hill over and over and over and over again. And now you're in. Now you're in.
How old is Tyler Lockett? 31.
28.7.
So 29, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I just kind of know how it works, to be honest with you, as far as like what's about to happen with Tyler Lockett and what I could really go and get him for really soon. Like, I could go get like Julio right now for about the same as Tyler Lockett. And I think Julio.
So that was a value question then. That's a value question then. That you're not talking about like who you rather have next year or the year after. You're just talking like straight up value. I think
Lockett will outscore Waddle in 2021, if you ask me that.
I think I guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I agree with, like, so I'm guessing that with Waddle being the third rookie, that it's only Smith in front of him. Well, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Right. Correct.
And that I disagree with. I think it should be Waddle in front of, well, obviously, after we talked about Smith, we know that, and we know how I feel about Waddle.
I mean, you have Smith somewhere between Quentin Cephas and Amon St. Brown. So there's a lot of wide receivers ahead of those guys.
Ooh, and a 2021 finish.
I got
you. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be clear here if that's what we're talking about. But so if... I don't know, man. I don't have to give you Waddle to get Lockett, I guess, is part of my problem here.
Yeah, and I get it.
I like Waddle more than Dave. And I don't know. It just gets tough for me.
I got Lockett as wide receiver 8 last year. Does that sound right?
Yeah, yeah. And Metcalf was in there too. I mean, and Lockett's been very consistent in that role. Just signed the contract.
Yep.
I like Lockett a lot.
Wide receiver 1 the previous year. Yeah, it's I guess it seems like we play one side of the fence or the other depending on how we feel about the player. So like, you know, we talked about Chase and his potential, and then I'm like, "Well, I haven't seen it yet." And then you're like, "But yeah, it's there." And then we talked about Lawrence, and it was like, the first thing you said is, "I haven't seen it yet." Like, I don't know what he,
Lockett,
you know,
so, got a little old for me for this exercise.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That,
with you and in totally an fair. Offense that I've seen how they are so good at rotating them through and phasing them out, like Baldwin, and how they did that. They're so good at their wide receiver rotisserie.
If he wasn't just re-signed, I would feel a little more concerned.
So, but you know, we've talked about that too. Like, no contract is completely secure. And but if it wasn't for the age that Lockett is, like if we were talking about somebody like the hidden 26-year-olds like Amari Cooper or somebody like that, it would be a little bit different. But for me, like the ageist in me comes into play on that particular one. I love Lockett though, and what I think he can still do for you on your fantasy teams.
So I got a little bit tied up in my lame Miles Gaskin joke here, but just kind of the real reason that I also, besides just the situation for Waddle too, that I just want to get back to a little bit. Never eclipsed 900 yards in college. Never eclipsed 900 receiving yards in college. Doesn't have a real breakout age. I mean, if you squint, he has one. And people hate on Rondale Moore all the time for being 5'6", 180 or 5'7", whatever it is, 180. Waddle's 5'9", 180. So not not a big player at all, and who's had injury concerns in the past too. So that's a lot to think. I mean, I have not heard a lot of talk about Jalen Waddle and injury concerns whatsoever. So that's kind of something to throw out there too. But that being said, I want to get back because I don't want to be a complete hater because I he's my wide receiver six. So it's not like I hate him, but he's got the draft capital and was extremely efficient from a scrim yards per team attempt in college, which is a really sticky number. So that was really, despite not having a lot of market share, that offense was extremely valuable. He was very efficient in that opportunity he did get. And he had returnability too. So I don't want to be totally rain on his parade.
I kind of like his situation and how you could almost see the targets spreading out and him getting some opportunities early on versus some of the other guys. But I don't know. Finero, do you have any other overvalued rookies?
I have a couple more. This is the other one that, you know, I just went straight to the top of ADP. This is the 21st overall pick in ADP, RB13. And this is the one you guys just are going to probably chew me apart on. And that's Najee Harris. My biggest thing here, and I mentioned it briefly a few weeks ago, was that I think we're just painting this picture that doesn't exist anymore in Pittsburgh. I think they're rebuilding right underneath our noses, and we're looking at those wide receivers and we're not noticing. Ben's not going to be here next year. I don't know who the quarterback will be. The offensive, I mean, just let's just talk about the offense. In 2016, 2017, 2018, they ranked 7th, 3rd, and 4th in total yards from scrimmage. That is the offense we all remember. Last year, 24th. Their O-line, ranked by PFF, 29th. This is not the same Pittsburgh Steelers. He's not going to have the same O-line that Le'Veon Bell had. And I just feel like we were in love with the opportunity, and I am too. I'm in love with the opportunity. I think there's no way Najee Harris finishes out of, 16 area? No way. He's outside of that area. But he's being drafted at 13 right now. And I'm more concerned about not this year, but after Ben and what the quarterback situation is going to look like. Just for reference, he's also not a big play guy. Harris is never really known as, I think he has 25. Yeah, I have it right here. 25 rushes over 20 yards in his complete career. Just in comparison, ETN in his 3 years has 55 20-yard runs. And then he adds another six receptions over 30 yards, giving him 61 explosive plays. This is the guy that's being drafted as RB19 and being considered overrated. I just feel like there's enough there. Even this year. So if you like him a lot this year, because Ben is there, the offense is somewhat maintained. I'm concerned about all the targets going everywhere. We have three very good wide receivers. They still have Ebron, Pat Freiermuth. I think that in combination with the bad O-line, in combination that they're really going to have to go for it this year. And then after that, it's going to be rough. He's going to get maybe more opportunity, but he's also going to get more stacked boxes. So I just feel like he's one of those guys that, again, I think you guys might chew me apart for this because everyone loves Najee Harris, myself included. But I just feel as though he's maybe just slightly overrated.
It's tough to argue a lot of your points. I think a lot of it with him is opportunity. Some people forget, too, something you didn't mention, to bake into the negative side of it to agree with you is his age and coming in a little older at 23. I mean, Joe Mixon is a year older at 24, kind of put it in perspective. Almost all of the rookies from last year at that position are still younger than Najee Harris. And you're right. We do love that situation, that opportunity. I do think he gets it.
He will get it.
But
what does it look like? Yeah, I mean, and honestly, we all thirst for that, right? That kind of back with that kind of opportunity is rare now, and a rookie's going to walk into that.
Where would you guys rank him with last year's rookies?
I'm personally taking all those rookies ahead of him. Maybe I'll take him ahead of Antonio Gibson, but that's
Akers or Harris?
Akers.
Dobbins.
I have him right with Dobbins.
Right with?
Yeah. So I think just because I'll go back to my bias of I've seen it and then everything I just listed here, I'll put them below those four guys, Akers, Dobbins, Swift, Taylor, and then I'll go to Harris.
Yeah. I'm struggling with Acres.
Yeah, I was with you. I was with you. Acres. We might be. I was with you there. I'm not gonna argue that.
He's the one that I found myself slowly finding a way out of. I just sold another share for Dobbins. You guys aren't gonna like this trade. I didn't tell either of you about it in Airboxer or anywhere else, but I traded away Acres, Kyle Trask, and James Washington for Dobbins.
So it's basically Acres for Dobbins.
Kind of.
I'm kidding.
It was the Tom Brady owner, so he did get Kyle Trask. I kind of put Kyle Trask in the right place with the Brady owner. And I just had kind of been going after this Dobbins share for a while. I tried a lot of different angles. Finally, I sent that out and he accepted it and I felt decent about it and then picked up Taylor Heinicke. So it was, got him off waivers to add. So I got somebody like he's kind of similar to Kyle Trask in a weird way to me.
Yeah, I just double checked ADP. I figured that's where it was going to go. I didn't think it was going to be that crazy. But I figured Acres was over Dobbins because when you're making these moves, I think most people have Acres over Dobbins. It's close, but they do. I didn't think it was as far away. So Acres is your RB8 where, wow. Right, which that's wow seems right. And Dobbins is Dobbins is 15.
Wow.
Najee Harris is above Dobbins.
Yeah, so I'm all about going to add Dobbins, and wow, that's crazy to me.
Harris, so I like Dobbins a lot.
I'm super into like trying to find ways to add Dobbins to.
Yeah, that's why you're making the because the two moves, one you didn't tell me about till just now on the show, another one you told us about before the show, and then I think on a show again where you got another Dobbins share, and I think we like that one more.
Yeah, because he's my last.
Because you got like a second back, right?
Yeah,
in that other deal,
he's my last year Swift. And I know that they're
yep.
People want to hear like the guy I'm going for in this class, like I was Swift, but he's definitely my last year's like running back that I'm kind of going after what I feel is the value and going to have the next big value increase. And I think it's going to be Dobbins. That's the guy you want to go get. That's who I think like go pay up now.
In fairness too, to going back to a little bit to whoever we're talking about. Oh, not Najee Harris. I couldn't remember his name for some reason. I knew the player. I just couldn't remember his name. Najee Harris. So volume is king. Like, so I think when we're talking about offensive line, we get worried about it's an efficiency thing for him, but the volume is going to be king. So that's, I always put that forward, but just as an interesting tweet that came across the Twitter timeline today, because I think David DeCastro was cut. DeCastro was cut today too, as well. So yeah. The 2020 starters, what Villanueva, Matt Filer, Pouncey, and DeCastro, they all had over 13 starts or more, are all gone. And they added a third and fourth round offensive line in the draft this year. That's it. And
forgot to bring that up. Yeah.
And they added three offensive lines of free agency, which they make between $1 million and $2.3 million a year. So those are basically just veteran minimums almost type players. So that's a huge difference in offensive line. So already what Fenner was talking about, how poorly they played last year. And then this is what they're replacing it with.
Yeah.
So that is an eye opener. So maybe this does actually leave a little wiggle room for people who are panicking about, because this is getting shared everywhere. This tweet from Warren Sharp. So maybe there is a little bit of wiggle room with, as far as Harris, if people get a little scared off, but going back to the offensive line, when it's a poor offensive line play, Big Ben can't rush. He can't escape like he used to. So that means he's gonna be dumping off a ton.
Sure.
That's what Drew Brees did whenever he felt pressure, he would dump it off to Kamara all the time. That's what we might see a lot with Harris.
He's a more than capable pass catcher too. So yeah, I hear you there. And we again, like to go after what I kind of attacked, that relationship that he had with Le'Veon Bell doing the same exact thing. You know, he has a comfort level there. There's QBs. I've learned that over the last few years. There's QBs that do it and there's QBs that don't. And it doesn't really matter if the guy that was getting it somewhere else before moves. It's the QB. Follow the QB to those targets. And yeah. Ben has, you know, like Rivers, right? Like we know Rivers, that was a Rivers move. That's what he did. Brady, high efficiency, low, you know, those dump offs are just raise your QBR. So like for me, I can see that part for sure. I think that's how he's going to get some, you know, that it's, he's going to struggle between the tackles for those reasons that you listed, but he's still going to get his. It's just that we're talking about a borderline RB1 out of the gate here.
Yeah. I'm gonna go down easy street really quick, and somebody I don't think we've mentioned, but Kyle Pitts, and kind of the same reason. I just kind of think he's being priced at that ceiling where you know you start to wonder if I even want a tight end at that point, to be honest with you, or if I do want to still, you know, just stick with my boy Hockenson or something like that. And I like Kyle Pitts. That's the problem here. He's a very young rookie, so.
Dude, but this is I had him there, and I was gonna do, you know, my normal research and just kind of like pick this apart and pick that apart, because I hate people that are crowned before they deserve it. But he's being drafted as tight end 3, and I just feel like, and I heard you, Swags, on another show, like, I don't even care about Waller, like almost dismiss Waller, and Waller's not necessarily dismissible, but I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah,
like there's just not enough tight ends to even say that at tight end 3, we're being silly, because there's such a fall off. I mean, you could even argue that Kittle can't stay on the field,
right?
And that's annoying as hell. The talk about Kelsey getting so much older now. I mean, oh my God, is Pitt so much younger? Is it 10 years younger? Like these are the reasons that I'm just kind of like, I think we're overrating what he's going to do in production, right? Yeah. Everyone's just saying he's going to be a wide receiver. But is he overrated at tight end 3?
I know what you mean.
I don't know. I don't know if he is.
Man, I think he is. Like,
certainly not value-wise. If you want to go back to that argument, I can get Hockenson plus.
Yeah, and that's just it too, you know, or Noah Fant plus.
Right.
You know, or in a draft, plus. Just like get a different player who's not a tight end and wait and grab Mike Gesicki, somebody like that, or Evan Ingram, two dismissed guys that'll probably do just fine for you at the position, quite honestly. Get Logan Thomas, somebody like that. And I'm happy, you know, go get Gerald Everett. He could have a good season, but it's just not my style to.
Not my style either. I'm with you, dude. All those names you mentioned are targets that I get much later. Everyone has their tight end one. Before I'm drafting a tight end, unless I'm in a tight end premium startup, you'll see me with a lot of Kelsey in those kind of situations. Typically Kelsey's like top scorer in those high tight end premiums.
Yep.
So like I might do something like that in a startup, but you know, all these things like Scott Fish, like you're never going to see me draft a top tight end in Scott Fish. It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
It's that. Not
We're
going
a lot to, of that in our 12 chat. They're like, well, I'm going maybe tight end.
No.
And I'm like, well, I'm probably not drafting one until the end of the draft.
Yep. Like, and we've been successful in that tournament. Like you the most. I mean, I think he finished 7th overall last year, which is sick. I never sniffed that, but I was.
And I mean, I'm sure it doesn't happen again. Honestly,
I mean,
some of the luck in that.
The point, yes, there's plenty of luck in all fantasy football, but the point is you did it without a top tier tight end. I know that.
I didn't draft a wide receiver till the 10th round.
That I don't suggest, guys, but
I do.
You can get away with it.
I'll do it again.
I know you do. I know you do.
Hey.
I know. Especially I've drafted with you before. Format.
Like
I drafted with you before on the same team.
You are in a tournament with a bunch of dynasty heads that are going to give me players that I can instantly put into my lineup as they. I don't know. It's just fun.
And as long as you hit on Justin Jefferson late, you're good.
Oh, that did happen. But you have to start 3 wide receivers.
In all fairness, I believe
it wasn't just Justin Jefferson.
Wasn't it the year before or the before that where McLaurin was another late one for you? I remember DK that.
Metcalf, yeah, and Metcalf, the year before, I didn't draft a wide receiver till the 11th round.
Yep. We digress.
Adding to the Kyle Pitts thing, I understand everything we're talking about. Like Finero was saying, like there's no tight ends, but there's other fantasy players too. You know. Like I understand that there's a position scarcity thing, but that doesn't mean that I'm taking him over DeAndre. I was in a startup, the same startup I was in yesterday. He went over DeAndre Swift. He went over Cam Akers. He went over Dobb. All of those. He went over all kinds of the. He went over Jamar Chase actually. He went over Jamar Chase like in a non-tight like 0.25 premium. So it wasn't like it was a lot to what as far as a premium as the tight end went overall. So I understand. Everything you guys are saying, but there's other players too besides tight ends.
Yeah. Do you guys have any other overvalued rookies?
I have one.
Who is it? Is it the same one I have?
No. I agree with you. So in this exercise, listeners, we didn't really share notes, so we had no idea who was going to pick what, and I kind of wanted to make sure that mine weren't low hanging fruit. So I went with ADP, and in this case, I just went kind of off the chart because at Rookie Fever we don't talk about quarterbacks a lot, and I'm just going to go ahead and pluck a possible bust, let alone. Overrated, and that's Zach Wilson. I'm just coming around to, I'm going the other way. I'm seesawing. Like I was on the Jets, and I like the coach change, and I'm kind of like about what they're doing now, and I still am. I'm not going full 180. But Katie Flower was on Rookie Fever, and she brought up Zach Wilson as her bust. And the closer I look at him, his little sidearm throws and headband, like that doesn't make him Patrick Mahomes. His crossbody and the way he improvised, that doesn't make him Aaron Rodgers. He's compared to those two quarterbacks all the time. But he just, like, I went back and just looked at his college career, looked at his sophomore and junior season. In his sophomore season, he was almost replaced that season. He wasn't even average. He was below average. We're all looking at this last year. And I mean, in that season that I said he was almost replaced, he had 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. That's the 1 year before the great year, right? Last year. And last year, if you really look at it, it was about competition. BYU was better than any team they played. They didn't really have high levels of competition. And I just, and one of the big things, and this really scares me about quarterbacks, whenever I hear somebody that I trust say they're worried about his progressions, that really concerns me. Now, it doesn't concern me if they sit on the bench and learn. Wilson's not doing that. He's going straight into the fire. And one of the biggest concerns about him was college level competition and his progressions. That concerns me. It really does. So I am concerned about Zach Wilson. I'm saying he's overrated because the NFL drafted him second overall. I'm starting to put him below Mac Jones.
Wow. I like it. But I'm into Zach Wilson. It's
cool. I know you are. Yeah. And I drafted him. So I have some shares too. And I think there's upside there. Like there is. His upside is that, how did he make that throw? But those are highlight throws. You still need a quarterback that can make, you know, 67, 70%. You know, you need that completion rate. You don't need a throw that kind of makes you go, wow, where did that come from? I think there's something there, without a doubt, a natural ability. I feel like Zach Wilson, we all know he's going to start day one. And I feel like Zach Wilson, I would just feel more comfortable if he had half a season behind somebody like Andy Dalton, you know, somebody that he can just kind of like just get a little bit of, you know, get that game to slow down before he actually goes straight in there week one. But
yeah, I know what you're saying. Dave, what about you? Do you have any more overvalued rookies?
I tried to squint to get a couple extra, but even Mac Jones, who I'm not, you guys know I'm not a big Mac Jones guy, but he's ranked exactly where I have him ranked at 22. The running backs, Trey Sermon, he's like, that's right where I kind of have him.
I wanted to put Trey Sermon on this list, and I looked at where he was going, and it's appropriate.
Yeah. You might see in a couple of certain situations where he's drafted a lot higher than I would expect.
Right.
But besides that, overall, the community's right there. So it's tough. I know that's it. I love rookies, so it's tough for me to get to say too many overvalued. This is actually, I was actually shocked with how much I was in agreement, because usually I'm a lot higher than other rookie than the community with rookies. But this year, it's like, I'm almost like, oh man, I feel like a consheepsis or whatever it's called.
Wow, you joined our show and you got cooler on Rookie Fever.
No, our people are just finally listening to us, guys.
It's just not as fun of a draft class. Somebody that I kind of started to feel like, I don't know if overvalued is the right word for this player, but somebody I started to feel like I overdrafted in some of my early on rookie drafts, who I kind of started to mellow on and would be happy to move on from, is Diami Brown. I'm kind of just to the point where it's just kind of like, yeah, but no, I just think just too much has to go the right way for him to have, I don't even want to say like successful year one. I want to say like successful year two to three to four. And that's kind of my problem here with him, even if like he earns that spot as the number three wide receiver. Will he keep that job, you know, over the years while Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin are still there? We've talked about Logan Thomas and then Antonio Gibson taking targets. He's somebody that I'm happy to move on from.
He might just be like, and it wouldn't be horrible, but you know how you feel about him today. It might be like a Colin Johnson, you know, and I got a little excited about Colin Johnson. Are you excited about him this year? No,
no,
not at all.
So I'd like to just move on now before while people still have a little bit of excitement and hope and, you know, just get some, even if I have to add to get something, you know, and I know you guys aren't as excited as me, but even if I add to Brown to get Amon-Ra St. Brown or something like that, mm-hmm. I would pay up to fix the mistake that I feel like I made in those rookie drafts to feel better about my lineups.
The first question I was going to ask you when you picked him was, you know, what changed? And you kind of you explained it well. I was like, okay, all right, I hear you. That kind of makes sense. I feel like when people got excited about him right after the draft, it's almost like they forgot Curtis Samuel went there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's almost like everybody woke up and go, oh shit, wait, no. Like,
and that's just kind of it. You know, nothing really changed except having time to take a chance to sit back and actually look at the situation and not being as excited as Ryan Fitzpatrick as the rest of the world is. And just kind of, but you know, there's not much value in him anyway, Diami Brown. So hard to say he's overvalued. Maybe a little bit of high expectations from some.
Diami Brown or Paris Campbell?
Probably Paris Campbell.
Diami Brown or Amari Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Dude, Brian Edwards is like three spots higher. That's it. I'm going to take Edwards all day.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton right underneath.
I got a share of T.Y. Hilton last night for Andy Dalton.
You're taking Eskridge over him.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think that he has a better opportunity with Russell Wilson as the third wide receiver there than maybe fourth to fifth option in Washington.
And, you know, Tyler Lockett's 56, like you said. So yeah, he won't make it till the end of the year. So there you go. Wide receiver 2, Seattle, Dwayne Eskridge. Wide receiver 74 off the board.
Wow.
I mean, I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying too about Diami Brown. Like, it's tough to get too excited about a player who went in his range of the NFL draft. He was right on that cusp, that end of the third round type deal. The only, and I agree, people, I do think people forgot about Curtis Samuel because people tried to overlook him when they were projecting other players in Carolina. They would overlook Curtis Samuel. Mm-hmm. So they want to do the same thing in Washington. But the one thing that I will say for Diami Brown is he did get the draft capital and went over wide receivers that I was shocked that he went over. And two, he does play a certain role that no one else in that offense really does. So he does play that, like Terry McLaurin doesn't really play that deep stretch it out kind of player or the field stretcher. So he's kind of got a little exclusivity to that, whereas Curtis Samuel has done in the past with Riverboat Ron there, but it didn't go over well. So, but I mean, I've cooled on anyone after the first three tiers of wide receivers. I'm like, whatever. I almost want to push it down the road if I can.
I'm with you. Although I have a few of them for underrated. Most of my underrated players are wide receivers.
Mr. Dave, it's your turn for final thoughts.
My final thoughts is, I know sometimes when we're talking in group chats, I forget how we even do the final thoughts here.
However you like, want to finalize it.
Okay, so I'll finalize it. So
not mine.
So to wrap up Rookie Fever tonight, I'm really excited. We got to hop on. The three of us are together again. That was all fun because we recorded 2 weeks ago was the last time we recorded. And we've talked about in the past about how, you know, sometimes some of the bitterness or the bickering and the just some parts of the fantasy community can really get us down. But one thing I've gotten really excited about over the last month or so is this outpouring of charity around Scott Fishbowl, people making donations. That's really one of the parts that I really enjoy about the fantasy. This is this stretch right here. Seeing all kinds of different unique ways people are donating to not just Fantasy Cares, but to important charities is something that I've been really motivated about, and people, it's really picked me up a little bit. So just hat tip to everyone out there who's been swags. You're doing a bunch of charity leagues with your giveaways. And so just, you know, everyone's finding little unique ways that they can help to make a difference. And it's been pretty cool to see that.
Yeah. I mentioned that on Superflex City too, with that little series I'm doing there, is just kind of how with the charity side of it, like there's, it's kind of inspiring as well. And it makes a lot of us want to go out there and do some of our own things and give back in whatever ways we can. And I don't know. Yeah. Pretty awesome for sure.
That's like one of the things that makes me feel proud about this culture or group we're a part of. Cause yeah. I think it's almost known for this. I mean, this is the time of year where I make all my donations. Like yeah. this is what I'm doing is like yep. right now, like this, I don't do it before. I don't do much after. It's all this period of time and it's all related to this. And, you know, I think, Swags, you brought it up last year. It's like kind of a cool thing to do is just like have everyone in your league donate, you know, a certain portion of the dues that year and put that into something just so you're even your individual league. And then imagine just every league. This is like $1 billion industry.
Yeah.
I just every league just did, you know, a little yeah. bit of
and,
that.
And man, I mean, with that said, like, and this is I don't know why I decided to do it that way, but I'm doing one now. And this player gets a lot of shade. We talk about him a lot of time here. For years, we've been talking about Corey Davis here, but I've got a charity league. It's 32 teams, best ball. And all you have to do is donate $10 or more to a charity of your choice. And you're in the league. Like you don't have to, so you do have to show me. I want to see that you did it sometime recently, but I mean, anything you want, just $10 and we're just going to be in this league together. Like where we've universally like done something small to help somebody in a huge way. And I don't even care. It's whatever means something to you in this moment. Like, I don't know. I've done a lot of different charity leagues where like I kind of like this is where we're going to donate to or we're going to do this or and this year just kind of feels different. And Scott Fish kind of did it last year, too, with the Scott Fish Bowl of like donate wherever you want. And like, why should it matter where you're donating, like to be in a charity league? If in the end, like the goal is to donate, it's not just that, like, I want all this money in this one pot to. Yeah, I don't know. Does that make sense?
I don't know where I'm going. I thought as soon as he did that was just genius. Cause I feel like, we all have, like, I know I have something very personal to me. So when this comes up, I always choose the same charity. And for a lot of people, that's that way. Unfortunately, like, and I say unfortunately, meaning like it's usually something that has happened to you or a family member. And regardless of that, it helps to sustain that memory or whatever. And I think when he did that, I can't prove it, but I think he'll tell you that the donation rate probably went way up. And, yeah. You know, not that the Fantasy Cares and the Toys for Tots thing wasn't awesome. Like, that's really, really cool. They take pictures and show. And I know that you've been a part of that as well, like personally. But just to be able to make it that personal, I think just makes it that much more easy to give. And I think that's something that this seems really pure that he decided to do that, because it was just like, I don't really care that it all goes in one place and I can brag about a number and say, look what we did. I just want people to do it.
You know? I have no idea either. Like, I mean, like anytime somebody like is just kind of like, oh, I want to do this and here I donated. And it's kind of just and they're kind of like, thank you. This is so awesome that you decided to do this. And then I kind of feel selfish because like of how good I feel because of what they just did and what I'm actually getting out of it. Just because of their simple action right there. And it's kind of just like, wow, am I doing this for me? And just like how, like it's, and I don't mean for the credit side of it. I mean, from the feelings you get when you're just like, oh, that's awesome. Or like, I would have never thought of this charity. And heck yeah, like good for you, dude. That's freaking sweet, you know. And it just feels good to kind of inspire people to do it in a different way and to show that we can just go out there, donate wherever we want, and just that's our common goal and interest, and to show that we are a community that's much more than just like talking about like that fake football, or you know what I mean? We've really come together and made small to huge changes.
Sure.
I feel incredibly closer to some, like when someone does that, tells me about a charity that is important to them and they share why it's important to them, I actually feel less like I'm just talking to yeah. some person in the, it does build the community. And that's yeah. really what I, you know, we all have relationships with people, but I feel closer to people and I feel more connected to people when I can empathize. Like, yes, that's an amazing charity. And so, and Swag, it's kind of similar to what you're doing. Dynasty Coach A, John Arrington, and myself, we've started doing this pod. We do a league podcast for people. If they donate, their league puts together a pot, $100 or as much as they would like, to any charity that matters to them. We do an hour to 2 hour podcast for their league. We started doing that, and it's been, we've had 5 people sign up already, and it's been amazing to see some of the places, yeah, like Special Olympics, Autism Thinks, the MS Association of America. It's just really,
dude, special to show me people. Those receipts, dude, and like $10 or more, dude, and I'll pop them into that 32 teamer just like that, man. We've got some spots, so have them double up, man. Honestly, dude, I got no beef with that at all, dude. It's just all about like kind of having fun. And I mean, the prize is already there. It's the Corey Davis jersey. Now let's get some people in these leagues and have some fun, you know.
100%. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I am at Swagzilla0G as usual. That's who I am. This is at Rookie Fever. He is at Artbark TV. Next to him, if you can see on the TV, is at FF_Spaceman. We are Rookie Fever.